know.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you. I know the yeshiva this year is learning myself as Baba Kama. I mentioned to some of the Ramim that when I was a Talmud here, I guess about 40 years ago, we also learned Baba Kama. And I was okay to hear Aaron Lechitz Nihar Hashirim on the Masechta. So it's a wonderful Masechta, as they all are, but a lot to learn. But I was asked today to speak not about the Baba Kama, but to give a shiur on a subject which I hope is Shavuot Chol Nefesh, and to say over something from Rav Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha. So part of the shiur, the second half, or the second, the two-thirds of the shiur will be from him. We're not going to have time in the limited, I know that I assume lunch is still at 1 o'clock, right? So I don't want to stand between anybody and lunch, I know better than that. So we're not going to read out all the sources inside, but you're welcome to keep these sheets if you're interested in doing further research. Yesterday, Sedra in Parshas Vayechi, we have a statement, a strange statement made by Yosef when he was telling Paro that he wants to go back to bury his father Yaakov in Eretz Yisrael, as we read yesterday. So he used an expression, says, Ovi, he told Paro, actually told the Paro's household, let Paro know that my father made me swear, like we read at the beginning, said, Ovi, Yishbi'alei mo, hinei anochi meis b'kivri asher korisi li b'Eretz Kanan. I want to be buried in the grave asher korisi li. What exactly is asher korisi? It's an unusual word, somewhat unusual word. So Rashi says in the second source, Alpi Pashas, learning Baba Kama, Ki Yichre Yishbor, right? Ki Yichre Yishbor, Ki Yiftach Yishbor, Ki Yichre Yishbor, so Yichre means to dig. So it means the grave that he dug. The problem is that we don't find that Yaakov ever dug any grave. So what was he talking about? He didn't dig the grave. He brought the cave. Avraham, his grandfather, brought the cave from Ephron Achiti, as it says a number of times in the Sedra yesterday. What exactly does it mean? So Rashi, the second interpretation of Karisi comes from the word, is like the word from the word Mechira, Kira, and Mechira, with the Mem, without the Mem, grammatically, they're related somehow. So it means that that which I bought, this field which I bought, which also is a little strange by itself, because Yaakov did not buy the field, Avram bought the field, his grandfather bought the field, he didn't buy it. So Rashi rounds it out with a medrash that the word karisi is remnant to the or is a related to the word kri, like in meruach hakri or trumas hakri. Kri means a pile. We have a dinim of trumas and maisers and so on. You're not chayev until you make the kri. When you bring it all in, you bring all the produce inside. You make a kri, you make a pile. That's the word. What's it referring to? So Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu took all the gold and the silver and all the wealth, the money that he accumulated when he was in the house of Lavan for 20 plus years, the whole story with the speckled sheep and the spotted sheep and so on, he made money. So all of that money, he made it a big pile. And when he met Esav, he told Esav, you take this pile in exchange for any claim that you might have on being buried in Maaretz Machpelah. And in fact, so he did buy. He bought the chelek. Really, in a certain way, maybe Esav was entitled to the chelek. Some of you may know, the Medrash says that Esav came and made a fuss when they tried to bury Yaakov, and the Chushim ben Don killed him, his head rolled in, or whatever. Okay, they're different Midrashim. But be that as it may, this Rashi is referring to the fact that he purchased this right to be buried in Maaretz Machpelah in exchange for all this gold and silver. If you look back in Parshas Vayigash, so the interesting Rashi's Medayik over there in the third source, that was all Parak Nun Pasuk Hay in Vayichi and Parak Man Vav Pasuk Vav. So there it says when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, he took all of the wealth, everything. It says everything which he had accumulated be'eretz Kenan. It's called as Ruchusham Asher Rochshu be'eretz Kenan. So Rashi's Medayik, the name of the Medrash, all the rechush that they'd acquired Eretz Kenan, Eretz Yisrael, but that which he had accumulated in Ur Kasdim and Padan Aram, in the house of Lavan, that he didn't take. And he tells all the same thing. The Medrash says he made this big creed, this big pile. Why? Here's what's relevant to us today for this discussion. Because Omar, if you're looking for Nichsei Chutzal Eretz, Einan Kedaili. I don't want any wealth or property I accumulated in Chutzal Eretz. I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, he's moving to Eretz Yisrael. I'm interested in Eretz Yisrael and making money and accumulating wealth in Eretz Yisrael. Whatever I got, nichsei chutz laretz, not interested. That's what he gave away to Esav. And Rashi there, and last week said, refers over here to Vayechi. What exactly does this mean? What is nichsei chutz laretz, ein kedali? What was the problem? So the Avnei Nezer, the Sachet Shavu Rebbe, some of them are Sachet Shabbos, maybe learn the Eglei Tal, same author, the Avnei Nezer, the great Sachet Shavu Rebbe, it's popular to say, his son was the Shem Yishmuel, many people study the Shem Yishmuel on the Parshas HaShavuah. So the Avnei Nezer was a father, great genius. So the Avnei Nezer and his Tshuvas has a very fascinating application of this Rashi. But for that, we'll have to go backwards a little bit. little background information. The Pasuk says in Parshas Masay, the end of Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'horashtem es ha'aretz yishavtem bo. That's the mitzvah of Yishav Eretz Yisrael. The way the Rabban understands, I quoted Rashi. Rashi said it's not a mitzvah, it's like a haftocha, right? If you do this, you'll get to live in the land. But the Ramban, in two places, Source 7, the Ramban in Chumash and Parshas Masay, and the Ramban in his addenda to the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs, writes that I understand this Pasuk, Perek Lamed Gimel, Bamidbar Pasuk Nun Gimel, V'arash Temesorot Yishavtemo, it's a mitzvah saseh. Right? We have to look at the first and seven, the first comments on the Ramban. Aldaiti zu mitzvahs asehu. This is one of the Tariq mitzvahs. Namely, to settle in the land of Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban counts this as one of the Tariq mitzvahs. In Source 7, you know that the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rabban wrote Hasogas on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs. He wrote a commentary. He disagrees with certain things. He says this mitzvah should have been counted. This mitzvah they should not have counted. He disagrees. Somehow they all come to the total of 613. That's a tradition. It doesn't say in the Chumash. It's in the Gemara. Has in the end of Makos. The Midrashim have in a few places that there are 613 mitzvahs, but it doesn't say that specifically, of course, anywhere in the Chumash. So you have different people wrote different works, which present what the mitzvahs are. And how do you count? Does this count as one mitzvah, two mitzvahs? Let's say tefillin. We have tefillin shoyad and tefillin shorosh. Is that one mitzvah with two parts, or two different mitzvahs in the count? Right? On Sukkot we take arba minim. So is there four different mitzvahs? One mitzvah take an esrog, one mitzvah take a lulav, four different mitzvahs, or one mitzvah with four parts, and so on. So you get a kriya shma. Is it one mitzvah to say kriya shma in the morning, one mitzvah to say kriya shma in the evening? Or no, there's one mitzvah to say kriya shma twice a day. So you have to figure out, and sometimes there are enough kaminas. Look, anyway, the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs. So Ramban, the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs is divided into three parts. What he calls the Sharashim, he has 14 rules as to how he's going to decide whether to count something as a mitzvah of the Reis or not. Then he has all the mitzvahs I say, then he has all the mitzvahs lo I say, and the Ramban has a running commentary where he disagrees. And at the end of the mitzvahs I say section, at the end of the mitzvahs lo I say section, the Ramban writes things that he thinks the Rambam left off. It's called, as it says in 8, the shichacha so essen, the essen that he quote unquote forgot. So one of them is, again, this mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So according to the Ramban, there was an absolute mitzvah I say, one of the parak mitzvahs, just like putting on tefillin, eating matzah, and whatever other mitzvah you can think of that's one of the Tariq mitzvahs, there's a mitzvah to settle in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a tremendous amount of literature on the Rambam Shita. Because the Rambam, again, does not count settling in Eretz Yisrael as an independent mitzvah. It's not on his list. And a lot of people wonder why. A lot of different shitas about it. Tosus and Ksubas, obviously not analyzing the Rambam, but Tosus and Ksubas has an opinion, Kuf Yudam and Beizim Asu Hu Omer, source number 9. Again, we don't have time to read through all the sources, but you can look at them later. I think these are worthwhile sources to know. He quotes Rabbeinu Chaim. That's not Rabbeinu Chaim. Briscoe, of course. Tosus quotes Rabbeinu Chaim Cohen. He says, "The Achshav Eino Mitzvah Lo Deberet Yisrael." Nowadays, there's no more mitzvah. That's how some learn that the Rambam didn't count the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tariq mitzvahs because nowadays there's no such mitzvah. It no longer applies. It was true for that generation. Okay, but there are a number of things in the Torah which were presented to that generation which are not counted as mitzvahs. Let's say when they left Mitzrayim, you know, they had to put the blood of the Korban Pesach on the post of the door, you know, on the door, right? So that the mashrus wouldn't come in. That's not a mitzvah l'doros. That was that particular Pesach that had to do that. But we don't do that. Not everything that was told to the Dor HaMidbar was meant to be a mitzvah l'doros. So Rabbi Chaim Cohen, according to this Tosus, the Trumas Hadeshim talks about over there also, suggests that perhaps that's in source 10, Pesachim Ksavim Sim Pechaz talks about it. Others talk about it. There's a commentary on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvahs called the Megillas Esther. That Megillas Esther has nothing to do with Purim. That Megillas Esther is where Ramosha de Leon wrote basically defense of the Rambam against all the Ramban's attacks and criticisms on the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He called it Megillas Esther. He named it in honor of his mother. Her name was Esther. So nothing to do with Purim. But anyway, he also says that it's not a mitzvah l'doros. It's only up to one time mitzvah, that generation. That may or may not be what Tosus is saying, because Tosus is saying that there's a danger to go there. But anyway, the idea is it's not a mitzvah l'doros, according to some. Rav Moshe Feinstein in a tshuva that printed in 11, Igros Moshe Ebenezer Chelek Aleph Simon Kuf Beis, suggests that two different types of mitzvahs, we know this from other places, there's a mitzvah chiyuvis and a mitzvah kiyumis. Sometimes there's a mitzvah which we're obligated, we must observe the mitzvah, we have to go out, you have to put on tefillah and so on, you have to eat matzah on Pesach. And other times you have a mitzvah, there's no obligation upon me right now to do this mitzvah. When I do it, I get credit for a mitzvah. So that's what the Moshe suggests, that the Rambam understands certainly that one who lives in Eretz Yisrael is Mekayim a mitzvah, no doubt about it, but it's not a mitzvah chiyuvis. That's his suggestion. Because the fact is, the Rambam in two places
Source 12, Hilchas Ishus Perik Yud Gimel Halacha Yud Tes, and Hilchas Shabbos Perik Vav Halacha Yud Aleph. It emerges from both of those places that the Rambam does hold that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, in Hilchas Ishus, he's talking about the case in the Gemara Ksubas that the Tosas, then source line Ksubas Daf Kuf Yud, the Mishnah there says that a husband has the right to force his wife, or wife has the right to force the husband to move to Eretz Yisrael. Usually, if there's a divorce, So there's certain rules, the husband has to pay off the ksuba and so on, but if, let's say, the wife is responsible for, let's say I'm married to my wife, and she suddenly decides she wants to move to the North Pole, and I don't want to move to the North Pole, so she's concerned, okay, so we're going to get divorced. So I don't have to pay her ksuba, because she initiated the breakup of the marriage, right? On the other hand, if I decide I want to move to the North Pole, and she doesn't want to move, so I initiated the breakup, I have to pay the ksuba. So what if one of the, I live in New Jersey, so my wife says she wants to move to Eretz Yisrael, or the other way around. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, whoever wants to move to Eretz Yisrael is in the right. The other one is considered to be the one breaking the marriage, even if you're changing the status quo. That's the sugi there in the last parak of Ksubas. So the Rambam brings that halacha, because obviously it's important to move to live in Eretz Yisrael. Hilchos Shabbos even allows certain things that are otherwise forbidden on Shabbos for the purpose of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Let's say the Gemara has a case in the beginning of Gittin where they want to write something on Shabbos, or at least tell a goy, the different opinions. Let's learn that it's a miral and achri, which ordinarily you can't tell a goy to do something on Shabbos you can't do yourself. But if, let's say, that some goy is selling land in Eretz Yisrael and he wants to close the deal right now, he's not going to sell it. You have an opportunity for a Jew to acquire land in Eretz Yisrael to take it out of the hands of a goy. You can even close the deal on Shabbos, even perhaps on miral and achri. That's the sugya of the beginning of Gittin. Rambam refers to the Rambam. So it cannot be that the Rambam does not hold that there's significance to Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It just doesn't work. So back to the question again, many people wonder, why doesn't he count the mitzvah to settle in Eretz Yisrael as one of the Tayag mitzvahs? So the Avnei Nezer, and I printed it for in Tshuvas Chelek Eredeya Simon Tov Nun Dalet, the Avnei Nezer has created a very interesting suggestion. He says that the Rambam absolutely holds that there's a mitzvah, I say, Mido Raisa, to settle in Eretz Yisrael. Same as the Rambam. Aye, so why doesn't he count it? It's a technical reason, because he says, well, remember I said before, and before listing off all the mitzvahs, the Rambam tells you what rules, what guidelines he's going to use to determine whether something's a mitzvah or not. So one of the guidelines, Shorash Test, is that when you have two mitzvahs or more, where basically one is for the sake of the other, Rambam only count one. So for example, Abinazar points out, that the Rambam only counts as a mitzvah to build the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash, the Aron, and so on and so forth. But the whole purpose of building the Beis HaMikdash, building the Mishkan, was to have a place for the Aron. That's what the Mishkan is called in the Chumash a lot of times, Mishkan HaEdus. Right? Because it houses the Aron HaEdus, which housed the Luchos HaEdus. Right? The purpose of building the Mishkan. So the Rambam counts building the Mishkan, but doesn't count building the Aron, because one was to facilitate the other. So they don't count on the list as independent mitzvah. Of course they're mitzvah, but it doesn't count as an independent mitzvah. So the Nezer says here too, there's a pasuk later in the Chumash where the Rambam counts as a mitzvah. We're supposed to drive out the inhabitants of the land, the Shiva Amin. Hacharein tacharimem, it says. So says the Avnei Nezer, now wait a minute, what's the purpose of that? So the land should be empty of people? Of course not. Obviously, the purpose of driving the inhabitants of the land, the Shiva Amin, out is so what? So we'll live there. So of course the mitzvah for us to live there. It doesn't count as an independent mitzvah because you already counted the first mitzvah to drive out the nations. You follow? That's the Adonai's creative suggestion as to why, but he absolutely holds it's a mitzvah. But then, the Adonai's has a problem. The Adonai's, I said before, is a chassidish rebbe. So we're living in Europe. So the question is, well, one second, if there's it's a mitzvah chiyuv, it's an applies bizman hazeh, so there's only one question left. Rabbi Bornstein, his name is Rabbi Ron Bornstein, why are you living here in Sochachev? There's a mitzvah deraisa to live in Eretz Yisrael. Why are you not living in Eretz Yisrael? The Adonai's harkens back to this Rashi. He said, what's going to be? I'm going to move to Eretz Yisrael. How does the Chassidish Rebbe make a living? He lives off of the Chassidim, give him money to the tefillahs for them, or whatever else. So he says, all my income is going to come from where? From Chutz Laretz. So he said, that's not called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael doesn't mean to be physically parked, your body's in Eretz Yisrael, but all your income comes from Chutz Laretz. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael means to work in the land, to build up the land. He said, if I'm going to live in Eretz Yisrael and still be a Chassidish Rebbe, and all the money is going to come from Chutz Laretz, that's not called Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How do we know? He says, that's what Yaakov had in mind. Yaakov, you know, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, wanted to live under the kind of mitzvah, so to speak, of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, he took all of the money, the earnings that he had earned in Chutz Laretz, and he said, that's what it means. Ein nechsei Chutz Laretz. I don't want that stuff. That's Chutz. I want to be Mekai and the Mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael. That's a creative suggestion, interesting suggestion. But I have to put in one caveat.
today it could be different. Because today, and it is different in my opinion, I think the Avnei Zohar wouldn't say the same thing today. Because today, even if I make money from Chutz Lawrence, but I come here, I spend it, I have to buy food, and I have to buy clothes inside, support an economy. In his day, it wasn't a Jewish economy. In his day, I think it was under the British still, maybe under the Turks. So bringing in money from Chutz Lawrence to spend it itself to build up the Turkish economy, or to build up the British economy, that's not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Today, even if I bring in money from Chutz Lawrence, but I spend it here, I go out to eat or whatever, I buy things, and I live here, so that is called. So perhaps the Avnei Zohar wouldn't say it. So it's just an interesting idea, I think, anyway, in terms of understanding the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What I want to emphasize is that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, according to the Avnei Zohar, is not just that I physically happen to be here, but all of my earnings and all of my money, everything comes from Chutz Lawrence. I have nothing to do with supporting the economy of the land. That's not Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And I was able to find a chaver, so to speak, a partner, a Tanya Misael, if you will, in the words of an unexpected source, the words of the Chassam Sofer. Okay, and we know it says in the Chumash, Yosafta deganecha, right? You have to ingather your harvest. So the Gemara has in Brachas, that's a Pasuk Nekev, right? Kriyash, my Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Dalet. If you look in 16, Brachas, Lamed Hayim, brings a famous machlokas to steer it. How can you do Yosafta deganecha? At the same, you have a Pasuk also, Vagisa by Yom of the Lila. You're supposed to learn Torah all day. So you're supposed to learn Torah all day. So how do you have time to gather in the harvest and so on? So machlokas, I'm sure you've studied this. It's here in Brachas Lamed Hey. It's the end of Menachos. Okay, whether Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Shimon Yochai, and Rabbi Shmuel, which is the right way to do things, and so on. Anyway, the Chassam Sofer in Sukkah, in Source 18, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, his Chiddush Sukkah, B'dinos Chodomeh, mentions the following. It's a staggering comment, actually. He says there's a difference between you live in Eretz Yisrael and you live outside of Eretz Yisrael. He said when you live in Eretz Yisrael, it's understood that of course you have to work the land and so on. Would somebody say, well, I'm not going to put on tefillin today. I'm not going to, because I'm busy learning. You can't do that, right? And just like one wouldn't do that, so says the Chassam Sofer, the same thing is true here, okay? He says, again, he quotes something else, but he says, I just want to see if I can find the exact lesson I'm looking for in Source 18, in the second part of the page. He says, Mitzvah Adars and so on. Sorry, just a second. We'll find the right words at the end. He says, "Yeah, ke'ilu to top of the next page, ke'ilu tomar lo aniach tefillin b'nei shani osik v'torah hachanami lo yomar lo esof diganim b'nei Torah." Okay, I can't say I'm not going to work because I'm busy learning. That's the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So from this approach, this is part A of the Shia, the first half of the Shia, that the idea of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is not just that I'm in Eretz Yisrael. It's to contribute, whether it's physically working the land, supporting the economy, building it up, and so on. Both in the Avnei Zohar and from the Chassam Sofer, you see that's an aspect in the midst of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. What I'd like to share with you from Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein's Zichrono Lebracha is the question of, you're all here, Baruch Hashem, for the year, but some of you are probably going back soon. I'm going back to today, Sunday, Tuesday night. You know, the question is a person allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Is that allowed? Are you allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Is it mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? And let's assume I am building up the land. Am I allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara in that same Sugin Ksubas, those last few pages in Ksubas, on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph has a statement in Source 19. The Gemara said the person had a situation where he had to perform the mitzvah Yibum in Chutz Lawrence. So the question he asked of Chanina was, was he allowed to go? He lived in Eretz Yisrael. Was he allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of going to perform the mitzvah Yibum? In other words, for the sake of a mitzvah, he's allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. So there's a certain case, the woman was a kosi, that's not our issue now, but basically Yibchina said no. And the implication of that, Gemara, is that even for the sake of performing a mitzvah, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. A Jew is supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael, even for a mitzvah, not allowed to leave. That's a simple reading of the Mark Subas, Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. There's also a sugi in Moed Katan, of Yud Gimel Beis. Some of you know that the din is that you're not supposed to shave on Chol HaMoed, or take haircuts on Chol HaMoed, because they didn't want people to come into Yontif looking, unshaven, unclean, because people figured, well, I have no time, Erev Yontif is such a busy time, people are running around and so on and so forth, I have no time to shave. I have plenty of time, Chol HaMoed, I'm off, I'll shave then. And then you came to Yontif looking schleppy. So therefore they made a din d'rabbanan, not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. So the Mishnah says in Moed Katan, Yud Gimel Aleph, there are certain people that can shave on Chol HaMoed. One of them is Habor Medina Sayam. Elam HaKachonim, Habor Medina Sayam. Someone came from overseas, meaning he didn't have the opportunity to shave and get a haircut on Erev Yontif because he was traveling on Erev Yontif.
So the Gemara in Daf Yudama off limits that. According to Behuda, it's not true. According to Behuda, he says, no, what do I mean? You had no right to go to Chutz Lars to begin with. What do you mean you came from Medina Sayyam? You came from overseas. They say, Yotze Shalom Bershus. You went left Eretz Yisrael, Shalom Bershus. That doesn't give you a heter to shave when you come back. And then they have in the Gemara, some say it depends what he left for. Lashut, the Gemara says in the second line of 21, Dibako Osem, because you went to Chutz Lars to tour, you know, to do, you know, a leisure trip for no particular purpose, just to, you know, whatever, sightseeing or something like that, then they were called also. Limizonos, if you went to Chutzart for Mizonos, you had to make a living, if your job required it and so on, then everybody agrees that it's okay. The machlokis is laharvicha, as Rashi laharvicha means, it was a vacation, it was to make money, but you have enough money as it is, it was just, you know, it was extra, it was gravy, it was things you don't really need. That's where the machlokis comes in. Now, there's a question, does Rav Lichtenstein point out, is this Gemara commenting on the general question being allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? Or is this just, no, it's discussing, is this enough of a permit, so to speak, to allow shaving and chalamoid? There's two ways of the Gemara. You can learn the Gemara as addressing the question in general, whether you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Or no, you could be allowed to leave, but it may or may not be enough of a reason to permit shaving and chalamoid. You can learn it two ways. But the Rush, there in what caught in Parag Gimel, Simon Aleph, quotes the Ravid, who based himself on the Yerushalmi that I have in 23 in Mordechai and Perek Gimel Halacha Aleph, links the two things together clearly. Okay, the Gemara says the same machlokas with that shaving, and the Gemara links it to a case of a Kohen who had to go to Chutz Laretz and so on. He went Shalobritz on Chachamim, and then the Gemara tells that story, not exactly the same story as we had in the Bava, but a similar story. Chad Kohen, also like Abba Chanina, Amar Omar Lotzes Latzur, Tzur is Tyre, is outside in Lebanon, Lassos Dvar Mitzvah, Lachot El Yadmen. It's a very similar story to the Bavli, but linked directly to the issue of shaving Achamah. So therefore, according to Yerushalmi, the Ravid comes to conclude, that's what the Rush quotes in 26, the Ravid comes to conclude that, no, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. That's the thing, you're not allowed, there's an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. We have to try and understand is what's the nature exactly of this Isser. You look in the Shulchan Aruch in 27, so the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Chalamoid, Arachayim Sim Tovkuf Lamed Alev Siv Dalet, says, Vein Megachon Oin, so on and so forth, and it mentions that somebody who comes in, the last line of 27, Shabo Be'erev Aregel, Below Haya Shos Bayom Legaleach, okay, because someone came from Chutz Arts and so on Chalamoid, or on Erev Yontem with no time left in the day, he's allowed to, but look what the Mechaber says at the end of 27, V'hu shalo yotzam Eretz Yisrael l'chutzos l'tayel. Provided you did not leave Eretz Yisrael to just, you know, l'tayel, t'yol, you know, it wasn't for business, it wasn't for health reasons, it wasn't even for a mitzvah, just for, to have a good time. And that's probably based on the Rambam Hilchos Yontem Perek Zayin Halacha Yud Zayin, because the Rambam also writes that, you know, Halacha Yud Ches, he writes, shalo yotzam l'tayel. The question, or l'schora, okay, the question is again, there might be for that Yerushalmi, that's what the Ravid seems to hold. You're not allowed to leave at all. The Rambam already, you know, makes a distinction, at least possibly. The Rambam, first of all, seems to be talking only about Shevin Chalamoid. He puts in Hilchos Chalamoid. But even when I hold the Rambam is talking about more than Chalamoid, he also seems to say, well, there are reasons why you can't leave. The Ravid didn't seem to be open to leaving. The Rambam appears to be open, and the Shulchan Aruch to be open to leaving for certain reasons, as long as it wasn't with Tayel. Now, the truth of the matter is, though, the Yerushalmi that the Ravid quoted sounds like they're not allowed to leave at all. The person would let him leave at all. But there's some who point out, the Brisker Rabbah and this Rambam points out, that, well, that might be a little different because there is talking about a Kohen. And there is a din, I don't know who is a Kohen, but there's a din called Tumas Eretz Amin. Right? The Chazal would go there that the other nations, other lands outside Eretz Yisrael have a certain Tumah to it, and a Kohen is not intended to become Tumi. So maybe it's a special case only for a Kohen. But let's assume there's a reason, an issue to leave Eretz Yisrael. What would be the reason? Why should you not be allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael? What's the problem with leaving Eretz Yisrael? Forget about a Kohen for a moment. There's too much Eretz Yisrael, so we're not Kohen. What's the problem with leaving Eretz Yisrael? Unclear. Yeah, there's an issue for what? And, you know, what kind of issue? So, the Rambam, it's interesting, Hilchos Melachim Perek Hei Halacha Yud Beis, based on the Gemara, again, the same Sugin Ksubas. So just like you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Bavel, you can't leave Bavel to go to other places either. Jews got to stay in Bavel. Why? So the Rambam learns it based on a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Perek Kav Zayin pasuk of Beis 32. Bavela yuvo v'shama yiyu. At this, we're just supposed to stay in Bavel. How to this? Gzeres hakasuv. Okay, gzeres hakasuv. But the Lechem Mishnah says no. Basically, the idea is because that's where the Torah learning is.
Those are the Torah centers are. Okay, you're not supposed to leave a land which is Torah-centric. We have so many opportunities, yeshivas, to go to someplace else where there's no Torah. How are you going to learn? How are you going to observe mitzvahs? If that's the case, we could understand that the issue of leaving Eretz Yisrael is an issue of going away from a Torah center to a place that doesn't have Torah. In which case, you could argue that if you're going to a place where there is Torah, or on a comparable level at that time in history, they would be allowed to leave, right? That's one thing. A second possibility is that I emerged from Ramban, the meaning of Gittin Beis and Aleph, that we could have to do with Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, right? Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, the Kedush is such that we should be in Eretz Yisrael, because the Kedush is Eretz Yisrael. Now that may open up a conversation. What about Bizman Hazeh? There's a whole discussion. Do we still have Kedusha? Do they still have the same Kedusha as the past? It certainly doesn't, right? Kitchel L'shaitan L'asid Lavo or not. And the Ramban there distinguishes between something to be considered part of Eretz Yisrael for in terms of mitzvahs at least for Eretz, but not part of Eretz Yisrael in terms of the Kedusha. So that's, I think, an interesting issue as well. But there is one other, I'll return to the back page, there's one other issue as well. And again, we have to rush, but we'll try and get through it. We're looking to try to point out. The Rambam writes, look at his language, Parakei Halacha Tes 35. Asur lotzeis meretz Yisrael l'chutz l'aretz l'olam. You're not allowed to go from meretz Yisrael to chutz l'aretz l'olam. Now, l'olam can mean two different things. L'olam means at all, right? At all. You're not allowed to go at all, meaning for any reason. Or l'olam can mean forever, right? In which case, we can make it have a discussion and say, 1 second. Maybe the whole issue of leaving Eretz Yisrael is only if you're planning to go for good, but I'm going to come back in a short while, though it's at all, right? So there's a big nafkamina as to what the Rambam may mean over here. There's a Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, who clearly learns the first way. Because the Gemara there in Avodah Zarah Yud Gimel says, even a Kohen can be Mitameh, Lilmo Torah, and that's consistent with what we said before, or Lisa Isha, right? He couldn't find a Shidduch in Eretz Yisrael, so he'll have to go to find a wife in Chutz Lahar. That's a Farishi Gemara. So, Tosfos adds, look at 37, Avodah Zarah Yud Gimel Aleph, Lilmo Torah, Pirush V'daito Lachzor Eretz Yisrael. The assumption is he's planning to come back. He's just going to learn for a while by some rebbe that he has over there, or he hopes to find the shidduch over there and so on. But other than that, but if he can't, then he quotes that Gemara that say, what do you mean? Not allowed to leave at all. Right? For the different reasons that we mentioned. Now, Tosus clearly understands that the word la'olam is the first way. La'olam means you're not allowed to leave at all. Not allowed to leave at all. Okay? Unless you have a compelling reason, like Lisa Isha Lumot Torah, but again, with the caveat that was talking about a Kohen, where you have the extra piece of, the extra concern of Tumas Eretz Amin. The implication is that someone who's not a Kohen, okay, who has a compelling reason, someone not a Kohen can leave without a compelling reason, possibly. But the Rambam himself, I'm skipping Rav Kook, because in the Truas Mishpat Kohen 38, it's in Kuf Mem Zayin, he tells you two sides of the Rambam. The Rambam himself, in Parakes Halacha Tes, you read through that Rambam, the implication is the Rambam learns the second way. That La'olam means forever. That means the Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael is an Isser if you're planning to leave forever. But if you're planning to come back, it's a brief trip and so on and so forth, then you don't even need any quote-unquote compelling reason, then perhaps even to go for a vacation, for a trip, and so on. What could this machlokas possibly revolve around? So looking at this suggested, if I understood correctly, that again has to do with this nature of living in and leaving Eretz Yisrael. Could be the reason I'll have to leave Eretz Yisrael, because we said before, there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. But that may tie us back to what machlokas said before, without the Avodah Zarah's creative suggestion, you're mevatel a mitzvah, or maybe not, maybe it's not a mitzvah, bisman hazeh. But it could be something else as well. And that will impact, does it make a difference if you're going on a short trip or a long trip? Right? If there's the Mevatel HaMitzvah, so don't say, well, Mevatel HaMitzvah is short. Well, it's okay. No, you're Mevatel HaMitzvah. Okay? And how do we look at those heterim? Does that basically just suspends the rule? Right? It suspends the rule? Or no, it's saying that the mitzvah doesn't apply in those cases. There's two ways to look at it. We can say, in those cases, the mitzvah doesn't apply, or the Isser, quote unquote, doesn't apply. So the truth is, you can look at it in one of two ways, and Rav Lichtenstein compared it perhaps to the mitzvah of sukkah, because it says Basukas Tesh. Someone's pointed out that there are very few mitzvahs that you do with your entire body. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is one of them. Your whole body, okay? Sukkah, you do with your whole body, right? So Basukas Tesh Shivas Yomim. Now, do we say therefore that a person really should mamish stay in the sukkah the whole sukkah? Is not allowed to leave. Not allowed to leave. I mean, we don't say that. The sukkah is not a prison, okay? It means that your ikar dira should be in the sukkah. But if you go out, you have to go to shul, you go out because you're going somewhere, you have to go shopping, whatever, it's okay to leave the sukkah, right? You do your ikar, it's basukkah's teishu shivas yomim, right? And as the Gemara says, in the Abchav Chesem Beis in sukkah, Ton Rabbanan kol shivas yomim, osa adam sukkah so kevin, so on and so forth, right? You bring your nice thing to the sukkah. You don't have to sit in the sukkah every minute. Elamai, walking out of the sukkah for a legitimate reason, it doesn't break up or it doesn't destroy Basukas Teshu Shivas Yomim. That's not called a hefsek, so to speak, in the midst of Sukkas Teshu. I don't talk about bracha purpose now. But the point is, yes, I fulfilled Basukas Teshu Shivas. I ate in the sukkah, I slept in the sukkah, I spent time. But it doesn't even have to, again, it's not a prison. I have to sit there every minute. I went out, I went for a walk, I went to say hello to somebody, I went to shul, right? It's still Basukas Teshu Shivas Yomim. So that if we draw that parallel, okay, we can say the same thing by Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is a mitzvah. It means my ikar dira, where I am. I'm in Eretz Yisrael, but to go outside of Eretz Yisrael, because even certainly for a mitzvah, but even for other things, to go even perhaps. Even for, you know, L'tayel, even perhaps L'tayel, maybe it's different than by a coin, but to go out by L'tayel, that's okay, because my Iker Dira remains in Eretz Yisrael, just like my Iker Dira remains in the Sukkah. That's certainly one way that one could conceivably look at it. Now, the only question is how broadly to define that, right? So, Magen Avraham, Hilchos Sukkah, in the Tatavkuf Laman Aleph, Siv Zayin, the last source, 42, he says, you know, why don't I leave the Sukkah just to go greet my friend, to go... you can argue what's enough of a reason that's not considered breaking up the mitzvah of sitting sukkah. What's enough of a reason it's not considered breaking up the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael? And the truth is, again, you can debate that. Well, what's considered okay or not? But that will also impact, and this will finish. Will also impact going for a short period of time versus a long period of time. You could argue that if I'm just going for a short period of time, that doesn't break up. But we certainly wouldn't say, if you interpret the Rambam as saying, I'm going to come back in 50 years. Okay, I'm going up. That's not going to be called. That's okay. As long as, like Tosa says, as long as Daito Lavzor, I'm coming back. Come back in 10 years from now. No, if we're interpreting the mitzvahs, this defining your ikar location, ikar dira, so then we have to figure out, okay, there's a certain amount of time it's considered normal to be away from home. There's a certain time it's not considered normal, so that's how you'd have to look at it. Bottom line, Rabbi Osai, also finish, I'm sorry, I'm going a little over. A person's ikar dira, mentally and ultimately physically, should be in Eretz Yisrael. There's no question. Okay, we Baruch Hashem in Chutz Laretz, a lot of wonderful things in Chutz Laretz. Okay, I'm privileged to give a shiur in YU, and I hope many of you come to YU. I mean, you know, wherever you're going, if you come back, Shana Bet is good, or Shana Gim, whatever it is, but you have an opportunity to learn, there are wonderful things happening, so then yeshiva is it's wonderful. But at the end of the day, your ikar dira has to be Eretz Yisrael, in your mind, even if you have to go back to have a family there, and all kinds of reasons why, I went through very quickly, but there are all kinds of reasons why I don't live in Eretz Yisrael, and many people don't live in Eretz Yisrael. So, but our tshuka, our desire, has to be always to get to Eretz Yisrael somehow. Maybe many reasons why we can't do it, making a living, many, many reasons why we can't. That's like before. To go into Eretz Yisrael and live off tzedakah probably is not also perhaps the key of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the way we described it, according to the Avinu. The idea is to build up the country and the economy and so on and so forth. There are reasons, whatever terutzim we have. But at the end of the day, Rabbi Osai, and this is something I hope you gain out of your year, your 2 years, whatever you hear, the Ava for Eretz Yisrael. You come back to America, you have to go to college, you have to get a job, and so on and so forth, and everything matzliach, and again, I hope I'll see many of you in YU. But that's not the issue. The issue is that your mind, your longing, your tshuka, your desire should always be for Eretz Yisrael. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day.